Welcome to the SOAP video series from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. We are in week 8 of 10, so getting pretty close to the end here.
I would say close to 80%
in the book of Deuteronomy. So this week, only 3 chapters, because one of them, chapter 28, is the longest one in the book of Deuteronomy.
Right.
And it is packed. It is intense, right?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And it's a good reminder. We can't get into everything.
Yeah.
Right. What we're trying to do is bring out the highlights, maybe bringing out some things that are a little difficult to understand.
Yeah.
But we're not teaching.
Yeah. Or things that, we love to connect to other places in the Bible when we see historical context. Yep. And there's some things, like even this week in chapter 30, there's a really interesting thing in the Hebrew text, sort of hard to see in the English sometimes, and those are fun to bring out.
Yeah, right. Right. So last week, we're continuing with the law. We've been with the law for many weeks. Last week, again, there was many laws. A lot of them were on marriage. And again, God doesn't want divorce, but he regulates it.
Yeah.
And if it's going to happen, here's some rules that you need to follow.
Yep.
There was a section on human dignity and tithing. And then we started a new section that's going to take us through the end of the book. We saw that there was an assembly at Two Mountains, a place called Shechem, where the priests said the law to the nation, and they were split apart, but they responded with amen.
Yeah.
And kind of would have been a cool thing to see.
Yeah. You wonder how loud it was, because we're talking about an amphitheater style valley, exactly. Being able to hear each other from the mountains.
Priests must have been up and yelling.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it would have been interesting.
All right, so we get into chapter 28, and God does two things in this chapter. He starts with, if you obey God.
We've seen that word if a lot of times.
Yeah, it's not a surprise. And there's some huge things that God's going to do, and these take up 15 verses. And so let's get into it.
Yeah.
First, he says, if you follow my rules, I will elevate you above all nations on the earth.
Yep.
You're going to be blessed in the city. You're going to be blessed in the field. Your children will be blessed. Even gets to your baskets and mixing bowls would be blessed. Now, I take that to be that you're going to have food in abundance.
Yeah.
Where you can actually cook versus survive.
Yeah.
A type of deal.
Yeah.
You're going to be blessed when you come and go. Your enemies are going to be struck down before you. That's, again, God is taking over.
Yep.
You will be designated as holy, and other nations will see you and respect you.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what God intended for this nation.
Which is why he gave them the law, so that they would be different than everyone else. They would live up to his design for them, and everyone would say, how is this even possible? We have to find out more about Israel and her God.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. I will greatly multiply your children, your offspring, your livestock. The Lord will open the heavens and give you ample rain. You will lend to many nations, but you will borrow from none.
Yeah.
Some cool stuff in here.
This section right here is quoted frequently in churches that offer or that present like a prosperity gospel, a word faith, very charismatic type things, where they grab all these blessings and say, see, if Christian, if you're obedient, then these are the promises that God has for you. It's like, okay, these are not made to Christians. Yeah, this is not about
us. We're not talking
us.
About Christians here. Yeah.
Right. But you hear some of these phrases, head and not the tail, lend and not borrow, all greatly blessed. It's like, okay, you hear it a lot. And here it is. This is where it's from.
Yeah. I said there was two main parts here. Mm-hmm. We went through the good side, which means there's a bad side. And God also says, if you don't obey God.
Right.
Now, we went through 15 verses for the good. For the bad, we have 55 verses.
Because this is the longest chapter.
Yeah, so 55 verses. They start out a little weak, and they get stronger as it goes along. One commentary I saw, God is quick to bless, slow to punish.
Yeah,
and it kind of fits with this in here.
Yeah, a lot of really terrible. I mean, you're gonna read some of these things, and you'll be like, how could God do this to these people? And I think one of the things that we need to remember is not that God is necessary. Some of the things God is doing, I will bring this upon you. But some of it is, this is Israel, a nation, a small nation compared to others, in the middle of some really wicked people. And what God is saying is that if I withdraw my protection,
right,
there's some terrible thing. I'm not doing this to you. I'm not causing this to you. Right. But if you decide you don't want me involved in your life,
yeah,
and if I hands off,
yep,
these are things that will happen to you just because people are terrible. People are sinful.
Yep.
People are wicked.
Yep.
So there's that involved. There's that too. It's not just that God, yep, is going to do these things.
Right.
Right. But he's going to allow these people to just do what people do. Right.
So things like, you'll be cursed in the city and cursed in the field.
Yep.
Direct opposite of being blessed in those places. The basket and mixing bowl will be cursed. Again, food is going to be scarce.
Right.
Children will be cursed. Produce will be cursed. Calves and lambs will be cursed.
Yeah.
God will send a curse to oppose you,
mm-hmm,
in everything until you are destroyed and quickly perish.
Yep.
There'll be plagues, diseases, until you are removed from the land.
Yep.
Weakness, fever, the sword will attack you.
Yep.
Enemies will attack you and strike you down. Your carcasses will be food for birds. It gets way worse than that. One line says, you will go insane from seeing all this.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I think what's really important to notice is the escalation of this. He starts off,
right,
it's sort of, you know, like a parent, you know, I'm going to punish you, you know, with this minor way, but if you keep doing it, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And that's really what we're seeing here, is this escalation,
right,
that culminates in, I'm just going to take you out of the land. You'll just be completely, right, exiled and scattered across the earth,
right,
which is what we see, you know,
that
the
happens.
Exile, and then, you know, even through today and into the tribulation.
Right. Right. So that was basically chapter 28 with the good and bad, and it was all coming from God. So in chapter 29, it's almost like Moses says, okay, hold on, stop. All right. This is me now. Not me.
Yeah.
But right, this, right, is Moses.
Yeah.
I want to remind you where you came from.
Yeah.
And he actually kind of goes back to Egypt and all the good things that God did for them. And he says, look, these bad things, they do not need to happen.
Yeah.
All we have to do is follow God's law.
Right.
Remember coming out of Egypt?
Yep.
God was with us. He protected us. He fed us. He gave us water. He gave us clothing and sandals that didn't wear out. So keep the terms of the covenant.
Yeah. You keep saying we will obey God. Let's actually put it into action instead of just works.
Yeah. Yeah. And as a reminder, no idols.
Because
he knows what's going to happen.
That's the big thing.
Yeah. Don't, right, turn away to serve other gods. And that's always first because, you said this before, because it already happened and it's going to happen again.
Yep.
And then he reminds them to be aware of where their hearts are. And that there's people among you, even today, that are producing bitter fruit.
Yep.
And the Lord's going to single them out for judgment. The land's going to be desolated. Foreigners are going to come into this land and say, what happened?
What happened
we
here?
We thought there was something big here. Why would your God do this to,
yeah,
you?
Yeah. So it's really interesting because God is saying people will come see you. What are
either
they going to see?
Yeah.
They're going to,
yeah,
see an amazing thing that we're doing here, and you'll point them to me, or they're going to see me.
Yeah.
It's, are they going to see me as you know, a good God? Or are they going to see me as a vengeful God? Because you guys are going to.
Yep. Yep. So we get into chapter 30, and Moses is basically done at this point, right?
Yeah.
He's given the law a second time. He's told the people what will happen if they obey God and what if they disobey God.
Yeah.
He's pleaded with them multiple times to obey. And I kind of correlated to a parent, right? We're both parents.
Yep.
You can plead to your child. You can lay out what's going to happen. If you do this, you know, here's the good that can happen. If you,
yep,
don't do this, here's the bad. But at some point, you have to have the child has to make a decision,
yeah,
on what they're going to do with their life.
Yeah.
And Moses has to allow the Israelites to make their decision on what's going to happen.
I really like how he does it, too, right? You know, starting in verse 15, he's like, look, I have set before you today life and prosperity on one side, death and destruction and disaster on the other side. Pick one, right?
Yep.
Life and death. Joshua is really, really interesting. Joshua does the same thing in Joshua chapter 24, just before he dies. I've set before you the choice, say life yep. and death, right? You've got to pick one. Yep. And what do we always pick?
Well, right. And we make fun and we laugh, but we do it too.
Yeah.
Right. We don't follow God as strongly as we could.
Right.
We get lazy. And that's what's happening here. Moses knows that Israel's going to disobey God. He knows they're going to start off strong. He knows that they're going to, you know, say the right words, but then they're going to lose focus.
Yeah.
And what that happens, I've always called it like a downward spiral. That's going to happen. The nation is going to start with idols.
Yeah.
They're going to start marrying foreigners. They're going to pick up those pagan practices, and it's going to slowly get worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
And God's, curses are going to get worse and worse and too.
Yeah.
Even to the point where they're going to be banished from the land of milk and honey.
Yep.
And Moses says, when you have experienced these things, and then, you know, when you and your descendants turn back to him, he will reverse your captivity and
yeah.
he will have pity on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And God, from his standpoint, he has to, because he still hasn't fulfilled all of his promises that he's made to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob.
Right.
And so David, he's actually dragging the nation along.
Right. Right. And today we see that, you know, in Moses' time, it's just Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But today he's right. made promises to David. He's made, there are other, yep. you know, to Solomon, there are other promises that have not yet been fulfilled
right.
that,
could have been easy.
Yeah. Yeah. We said, well, you know, they were exiled and they came back to their land. They have never come back to an unoccupied land.
Right.
From the time of the kings, there's been oppression. You know, fine, they came back. They were under Persian. Then they were under Greek. Then they're under Roman. Then they were dispelled again. Right. And even today, they're still fighting for their land. This right. stuff has not yet been fulfilled. Right. And it won't be fulfilled until the millennium.
Right? Right.
So there's a really cool promise in here that I mentioned early on or yep. earlier, that there's something in the Hebrew text that I think is just really fun. So if you give me a little bit of leeway here
yeah.
to play a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
So there's something here in verse chapter 30 in verse 4. Now, I'm reading the NET translation here that says, even if your exiles are in the most distant land, from there the Lord your God will gather you and bring you back. A lot of English translations say, you know, spread across the earth or the four corners of the earth or something like that, right? The Hebrew text says, even if your exiles are basically spread out under the heavens. Now, under the heavens to Moses is anywhere on earth, right? But here we are in the 21st century, and right. under the heavens could mean the International Space Station. Under the heavens could mean on the moon right. or in Mars, right. or, you know, we're colonizing Mars or whatever. So this is what I really love about the doctrine of inspiration. When Moses wrote these words, inspired by the Holy Spirit, these words, Moses could not have known anything about space travel, Mars, you know, colonizing, you know, the moon, whatever. But when God said anywhere under the heavens, just because Moses doesn't know anything about that doesn't mean that it couldn't happen. So when Jesus comes back, if there is a Jewish person on Mars, if there's a Jewish person on the International Space Station, if it's hanging up there after the tribulation, you know,
and he's
whatever.
He's calling people home.
And he calls the nation of Israel back to this land.
Right.
It doesn't matter where they are under the heavens. And that phrase is legitimate when Moses wrote it and yeah. even into the future, even though he could not have possibly understood the extent right. of it. And so the Holy Spirit inspired a text that can never be proven wrong because it's from God. And I just love that.
Yeah.
It's just an amazing thing. Hard to see in English because most of our English translations take it the way Moses would have understood it,
right.
you know, anywhere across the earth.
Yeah.
But the Hebrew text says anywhere under heaven.
Nice.
Under the heavens.
Nice. Thanks for sharing it.
So with us. That's pretty cool. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Great place to end up for today too.
Yeah. Yeah. Just some really neat on stuff hope. In here on hope. Yeah. Because God will bring them back. And I think that's the thing is that he will bring them back. It won't be until the millennium at this point, but it's a promise. And like you said, he has promises he still has to fulfill to even though Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob aren't on earth right now, they're still alive. They're still waiting. You know, they'll be resurrected. And one day God's going to say, remember that promise from 4,000 years ago? It's time. It's time.
That'd be cool.
Man, and we'll be there. We'll be there in the kingdom with them, and we'll get to sit down at the table. Jesus talks about sitting down at the table with Abraham and these guys. Man, I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to that. So if you know Jesus as your Savior, then you can look forward to that as well, because it's a promise, and God always keeps his promises. And we're so glad for that. If you know somebody who needs to hear that, please share this with them. Subscribe and follow so that you see when we post new content and new things up here. If you have questions, or maybe you have comments and you say, oh, you know, I wish you would have talked about this verse or this, you know, thing in here, send that along. We'd love to interact with you on that. Until then, we'll pick up here next time, and we'll see you back then.